Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of ZLive, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
What a Sunday it is for those people who enjoy Sundays. Sunday is that day of relaxation, that day of family. Traditionally in the Bahamas, Sunday is that day when people just simply eat good food. And for those who are of the Seventh Day faith, you know, your day was yesterday. And something amazing is happening in the country called the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, right here in New Providence. Some people call it Christmas time. Some people are anti-Christmas. Some people believe that, you know what, it's just family time. But for me, at Remark, it's always a remarkable time. And we're going to have a great time today. I will not tarry with you for much longer, because we have a great one in the house. And before the great one comes, you know, you can try to be humble and nice and meek and mild like the baby Jesus, but I ain't buying that, man. This is a great man, Reuben Ramming, Senator Reuben Ramming, in the house, Pastor Reuben Ramming. And I'm trying to toy with a different perspective, especially coming into the new year. With him now being the senior pastor of Rehoboth Church there on Prince Charles, right next to the super busy Quality Home Center right now. I just left there. Boy, Reuben, I hope you get some of those people in your church. But you know, they're shopping and spending that money.
Yes.
But I want to just tap in on a Sunday every so often, as we always talk politics and social issues, to put a little bit of spiritual life into our conversations on a Sunday. And so Pastor Reuben Ramming has consented that every so often we will invite the presence of the Lord into this place in discussion, open discussion, whether you're Rastafarian, you're Buddhist, you're Muslim, whatever your faith is. We want to have a little conversation with you as people are seeking to find their way to the Creator. But today is a great day as we are ending the year. Many of you have said to me, Garth Rose, well, we so enjoy Remark. And listen to me, I am humbled by that. I'm extremely humbled by that because I have to compete with the football. I got to compete with the baseball. I got to compete with the basketball. I got to compete with the beauty pageants and with the action movies and the thriller movies and people traveling. And you're taking the time to spend with me, Darwin Russell, Precious Molly, Kira, Reuben Ramming. We are here for you. We want to discuss with you. We want to talk with you. We want to build this country with you. And of course, we always want to lift a spiritual significance within this country. And so today, Reuben Ramming is in the house today. I did, however, due to time constraints, I saw Pastor Micklin Seymour on the beach in South Beach. And, you know, he and I was there for almost 2 hours having a conversation. And I says, you know what, I'm supposed to be there on Sunday, and forgetting that I spoke to Reuben, that he's supposed to be on Sunday. And so I want to be a little respectful to Senator Reuben Ramming with apology. That's why I'm here today. But I could not allow Pastor Micklin Seymour to go another day without bringing his presence to the show. And so hopefully the brotherhood is going to be great. We have another two great gentlemen in the house today. There are no ladies here today. This is not a gender-biased show. We're not being male chauvinists. We're simply wanting to get to a spiritual plane. And I know that the broad shoulders of Reuben Ramming has every ability to have an open discussion with you today. Something that's going to sensitize, something that's going to lift you up, something that's going to encourage you. Listen, man, 2025 has been a great year. We lost many. We lost many great souls in 2025. We've had some disappointments in 2025, some political disappointments. Some of you have been elated due to your political achievements. But check this out. At the end of 2025, we are still here. and we are still family, we are still one. And so knowing who I am, the troublemaker, the mischievous one, the one who got to mix things up, I say, you know what, this ain't no time to mix up nothing. This time to just bring people together. And so without further ado, remark. Every Sunday, 5 to 6:30, shout out to all of you who are fans. We love you. We're praying for you. And listen, we're looking forward to a great 2026 with you. You got to be here. This is a show for you. And I'm hoping, I know Ruben is coming back on tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m., but I'm hoping in the new year that he will bring together the other clergy members coming to this place, sanctify Remark at the beginning of the year so that we can have a great and blessed new year. I want to bless everybody. Yes. I want you to prosper. I want you to be in good health. Yes. But I also want you to be in the magnificent number when the saints go marching in. This is God's Bernard Rosemary saying Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and looking forward to hearing from you again in the new year. Ruben Ramming, take over.
You know I love you, you know God. I think to everybody, I think God is the baby who caused mothers to invent beating. I love you, God. Listen here, man. Enjoy yourself. If you go in a boat, remember me.
Oh, you go.
You're being by Jordan, and you bring somebody whose spirit connects with mine and person to Pastor Seymour. We're going to have these guests introduce themselves properly. And, man, maybe we can do a free flow. I believe in providence. We're going into a new year, and the reality is, listen here, nothing that happens in life is without purpose. Yeah. Nothing that happens in life is without cause. Mm-hmm. Even for those, the Bible says, a foolish man saying it's hard that there is no God. But let me tell you quite frankly, if you think you don't believe in God, behind everything, there was a thought. Behind every thought, there was a thinker. So if you seem to think self exists, then you are delusional. The reality is God is evident even in the things that is created. Even to this day, you can find no fabric with the tapestry of a pirate fish. Or no thing made by man has the delicacy of a jellyfish, or man having the ability to create computers that could cause birds that have not traversed the world to be nest in the south and travel across the equator to nesting grounds they have never seen before. You got to tell me there is a God.
Yes, sir.
You got to tell me there is a God. Now, however you may want to express him, that's your business, as long as it really equates to what I know to be one true God. We invite you here to join us today as we sit and we touch bases with some great men. The first part of the show, it is very, very important that we hear the spirit of the individuals. We don't want to have dialogue without understanding. We'd all like getting that understanding. And we're going to take time for these men to immerse themselves. I'm not interested in the biography. Your college and schooling and everything don't mean much to me. I'm interested in us being able to express where we are in our souls, our presence, where we believe, to connect with people. So people could feel you. So when we get into whatever discussion is going to happen today and today, that people could at least understand and feel where you're going. And we want to thank God for each and every one of your presence today. We also hope to tap into, because it is a special season for us, regardless of whatever the thoughts may be. This is the day that we esteem. This is the season that we esteem. And then we're going into what we may call a new year. And I use those words deliberately. And we want to hear about your visions going forward. What you've been doing. We want to find out what has been working in your lives. And so I'm going to start with myself, because I'm going to park this train and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to enjoy my brothers in the studio. You know, I'm Ruben Ramming. You know me as a lot of things. But right now I'm functioning as a pastor of Rehoboth Baptist Rehoboth Ministries on Prince Charles. We're right between Ashley Furnitures and the QBC workplace. Very, very unique and gifted ministry. And we're going to start talking about young people and youth and the things that we're doing and welcoming people into our houses so they feel our spirit and where we're going. But I'm going to have plenty of time on the radio. You know, I have in studio with me, should we go eeny, meeny, miny, moe? You know, you're the big brother of the show. Who should we start with? The big guns? The big guns, right?
You can start
with the big brother. And this is Pastor Micklin Seymour. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Seymour, let's pretend the people don't know you.
Well, first thing, I want to say welcome to my people, the Bahamas.
Yes.
And the best country on the face of the earth since sliced bread.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about God's prophetic and redemptive purpose and plan for this nation. my purpose of being here this evening. This evening, as I
man, you got to say that again. You caused me to like you, sir. You got to say that again, please. No, no, dude, because that's the reason for the season.
Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah.
Anybody disagree? Say that again.
God's prophetic and redemptive purpose and plan for us as a people and a nation.
Christmas.
Now, I was talking to Brother Gart, and I told him that the Lord has called me in 1988 in a vision.
Yes, sir.
And he began to show me this nation. As a matter of fact, he walked me through hell. He surnamed me when he called me. And that was in 88. Walked me through hell and sent me back and said, go look for the children. Could you imagine that? And I knew I was saved at the time. But 5 years later, he began to show me some prophetic purpose and plan and how the islands of the Bahamas is written down in scripture to fulfill end time prophecies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He began to show how all of what the islands of the sea that the major and minor prophets spoke about were none other than these islands of the sea. And when Christopher Columbus came and sailed into the Devil's Triangle, I like to say that because that's where he came. It was no coincidence. It was a particular place that we know even today. Men say it is the most mysterious place on the face of the earth. And it is a reason why that is so. I wrote a book, 400 plus pages, concerning the island of the Bahamas in Bible prophecy. And that's why I said earlier, the greatest slice of bread kept secret, because the whole world is reading the Magna and bearing of this nation.
I want you to hold right there, brother, because boy, in wrestling, they used to say, you want to know the rock cooking?
Yeah.
So you cooking in these people's studio. And it started to smell like your chef. I want you to tell them about the man who God called.
Me?
Yes.
Well, right now, I am the pastor of Capstone Ministry.
Yes.
I am the, because of the work God has called me to do.
Where is Capstone Ministry?
Capstone Ministry on Robinson Road, Charles Vincent Street.
Yes.
Yeah. Because of the work that God called me to do, he had me on a road that really focus on what this nation is all about and how he is going to use her to reveal his glory to the world. Mm-hmm. And he showed me how all of the history of the Bahamas, you need to hear it, sir. The history of the Bahamas, or let's put it this way, the history of the nation of Israel is relived in the Bahamas. Relived in the Bahamas every high holy day, every great historic event, 1967, when there was a majority rule. That was a great year in Israel, all right? And they got there. That's the first time they came in to really begin to own, all right, mm-hmm. that land. There was a Yom Kippur War, Six-Day mm-hmm. War, that set them free to level. 73, we became a nation on the 10th of December, 1973, and the Bahamas became... that's Israel. That was Israel going into the Promised Land in 1973 on the 10th day of the 7th month, and we became a nation on the 10th day of the 7th month. All right? One on the Gregorian calendar, one on the Hebrew calendar.
Okay.
98, 2000, 2014, right up to 2023. God has been doing some things in this nation. And so we are here to say that God has called the Bahamas to be a righteous nation under a righteous kingdom government.
I want you to pause there for a second. I'm going to do two things, and I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want you to know that the numbers for the day that we have tuned in are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. I got to ask you something, because I've been doing talk shows for a while, and I think we're all connoisseurs of history here.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to smell something rich?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys, they got to hear you. Don't
yes,
they?
Sir. Yeah, definitely. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you. Are you free tomorrow at 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock? I'll make myself free.
I want you to make yourself free.
I'll make myself free. Look at Michael.
And I want you to look me in my eyes when I speak, and you won't get in slam bam in this show. I got 2 hours on Monday. I got 4 men in here now.
Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Me and you going into a deep dive on Monday.
That's tomorrow?
That's tomorrow.
2 to 4. Okay. So
that's tomorrow. And so remember the first segment we're gonna do, we're gonna introduce, because I wanna respect all these, then we're gonna get into a flow of discussion. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to the Bahamas mm-hmm. on that busy day on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to honor you and what God put in you, I'm going to honor that on Monday.
Okay.
I'm going to change everything for Monday. Mm-hmm. You smell the cooking?
Yeah, man. I appreciate that. I will flow with you, brother. And this is the voice I meet you.
No, and you got to, you don't got to have no 5 minute slam, bam, bam. And I will honor these great men here.
Mm-hmm. Just tell me what you want to do, because I understand what
we're going to do you right now. We're going to do you.
Okay.
Full 2 hours.
Okay.
Okay. Excuse me. Today, they're going to know you.
Okay.
Tomorrow, they're going to hear that.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're saying some things that are so rich that they can't be skipped, like somebody throwing a rock across a pool.
Right, yeah. Right.
You see, I'm respecting, mm-hmm. I'm respecting you. Mm-hmm. They need to be things that the people can marinate. Mm-hmm. I want them to marinate on that. You all agree with me?
Makes sense. Makes sense.
That's all great with me.
Makes sense.
Because we at now right at 5:19. We got an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah. Let me
say.
But I want you to finish what else is on your heart.
Well, and then okay. We're gonna go through. Before I do that, let me introduce this young man we have here in the name of Salatiel Thompson. Mm-hmm. This man. God has raised up in a very serious way. He has a serious testimony,
yes,
that he can tell you about. But God has shown him the similar things that he's shown me concerning his nation. And so he brought us together after 30 years in his paradigm and mine. And he said, "Now I want you all to go forth and lay the foundation for a Davidic throne government in this Bahamas, whereby the Spirit of the Most High, I will show up and rule by the Spirit through his sons." Remember the Bible said, when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. The Bible said, righteousness exalts a nation. God wants to show this nation as a righteous nation, as a model and example to the nations of the world. Mm-hmm. And he is going to do it. I got to say it, pastors. No man can stop us. He said, "I reveal my secret to the prophets before they come to pass. I tell you of them." We came to a jubilee. God has a jubilee for this nation. And the jubilees consist of we becoming that model, an example to the world, and all the things he said to the minor prophets, like one, glorifying his name in the isles of the sea. The Bible says, the fires of the Lord will come to the isles of the sea. He said he will magnify his laws and make them glorious. He called us to be a place where he will reestablish the tabernacle of David in that has been fallen down in these last, simply meaning where true worship will take place. Even as he loved David, these islands become the apple of his eyes. We are in the Gentile nation. And he said he's going to use this nation like he used Israel in our biblical days. Mm-hmm. He will use the Bahamas in the dispensation of grace. In this disposition of grace, he will use the Gentile nation, he will use the Bahamas as a Gentile nation to do exactly what Israel failed to do in our biblical days. And in doing that, he will provoke the nation of Israel. See, they're still going to the Wailing Wall. They're still looking for their Messiah to come. All right? They don't even respect as a nation now. I'm not saying no Christians in there, or no people of God, but they don't respect the New Covenant, the New Testament, because they don't believe the Messiah has come. Well, he has chosen a people according to these scriptures that I will show you, that will function as an Israel to the Gentile nation, and where his glory will be revealed in joy. He can't come back until he do this, because he want to prove what and have a righteous nation function, and this is the place. So when Columbus came in 42, he came in to begin to to lay a foundation by which what the prophet said concerning what I'm saying will now be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. We are 500 years later. And so we are here, myself and this young man, to speak, to declare some things. Now, we have a movement called the Righteous Government Movement. We don't see it as a political party. We see it as a kingdom government movement, mm-hmm. where God now will enthrone himself spiritually. We have a system in this nation, Pastor, that is very idolatrous. And you hear that with the natural resources, the economy, nothing will change until we deal with the system in this nation. Nothing will change until we deal with the system in this nation. So
But I want you to grasp, and I'm straightforward. We could either use discipline and have it now and be blessed with 2 hours tomorrow, or we could lose the flow, or we can just go now. I think all of us, especially you, young pastor, and me, myself, we're full. You know, but we set an agenda. We want to flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've given you the honor. I cancel everything for you tomorrow. But it ain't going to be tomorrow and today.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So I just wanted to... I want to do exactly what I said.
Okay.
Because we only have an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And trust me, it's going to run fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to run fast. All right? It can run fast. Saying that, you're along with Brother Seymour. Why don't you introduce yourself to us?
Blessings, my Bahamian national family. My name is Salajil Thompson. I thank you first and foremost for inviting me.
It's our honor to be in your presence, sir.
Yes, sir. As my spiritual father said,
yes.
My story is a little different. I recently came out of prison after 28 years.
Yes.
In the 1980s, I was wanted for 89 most serious crimes in the country, murders, bank robberies, alleged of being involved in the Crystal Palace.
Robbery back then?
Yes,
that was you, the oil, the road, all that stuff. Okay, go ahead.
I left the country, went to the United States, yes. And they arrested me for 7 bank robberies over there. They gave me 31 years while over there. I picked up a murder before I went to trial in my first case, where I was alleged of kill a prison guard, brought a gun into prison in an attempt to escape. For the first 16 years of my 31 years, they kept me locked down by myself. My cell consists of a concrete bed that had rings, in which they would tie me down a lot of times and beat me, a bathroom, a toilet, and because they say that prolonged isolation, you know, psychologically affect the mind, they were entitled to give me put a television in my cell. During the spirit, the God of my ancestors met me. I grew up as a Hebrew Israelite all my life.
Are you still?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And it is not a religion; it's a nationality. Mm-hmm. You know, mother.
So then your spiritual father is also Hebrew Israelite.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I'm asking you. When I say introduce yourselves,
yes, sir.
I want you to make the stuff clear. Don't get into your message. Tell who you are.
Yes.
For the show, 1 second. For the show to be effective in everything, God is a God of order. Mm-hmm. We wanted to take this first part to introduce yourselves, because this is the first time I'm meeting you, and I want to honor your presence, and I want to see how we can affect the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And so... you want to introduce yourself. I even cut you out my own introduction because you want to do it, because I know the time is going to go quick. And if we don't meet the task today, then I will have to make up the task tomorrow, then that will impact what I would want to hope to do to accommodate you all.
Yes, sir.
And I hope you see this, because I respect and want to hear from you, and I want maximize it. You've been through some interesting things. That's something I would not want to slam down as well. All right? Continue. Tell us more about who you are.
Yes, sir.
What you're impacting your life, and just help us understand.
Well, during that time, during my first 16 years, isolation by myself in a cell, the God of my ancestors visited me, and based upon the last conversation I would have with my mom before she died, she told me that in 1967, when she was carrying me, I was born January 31st, 1968. Mm-hmm. An angel approached who she had never saw before and would never see after. And inquire of my mom of a melancholy. She explained about the financial situation with her and my father. She was 26 going on 27 and she carried me. I'm the seventh child. And she told the angel what was going on. The angel told her the child she's carrying is a special child. The child would achieve seven great things in his lifetime. Fortunately, this was the last conversation I would have with my mom. She never told me this all my life. She told me she had a particular name for me and she was instructed to give me the name Salatiel. Most people can't pronounce it. They say Salatiel, which in Hebrew means acts of Elohim. When the people are oppressed and they begin to cry out to God, God send one. So during this time in my isolation, the Most High gave me certain information. First and foremost, he told me that I was of the direct lineage of King David, my ancestor. He said that he raised me up for this particular time and to come home that I should look for a prophet. He told me when the spirit of the Most High used to rest upon me on my head in the cell there for 2-3 days, I would spend writing. My head would be hot. And I brought over a lot of information. I brought over a constitution and many of the instructions the Most High gave me. To make a long story short, in 2014, they reduced my custody and security level and I was sent to medium for the first time. And during that time, a professor met me who used to come to the prison from a top 20 university and he taught the program Victim Impact. And he heard me speak and he built a program around me never before federal or state prison tried. And to make a long story short, again, I have the title of an adjunct professor where I taught criminal justice, Aboriginal African studies and constitutional law. I had no formal training. At the end of it, I held the highest ratings in that institution, in the history of that institution, along with the fact that I was allowed to publish with a PhD professor, which in the academic world means a lot to them. I came back home. I was reincarcerated. In 2018, I, through the grace of the Most High, was, you know, absolved of all charges. And I began to do the work. I met my spiritual father, Prophet Micklin, and I began to show him essentially what God had shown me. Essentially, I came with the nuts and bolts of what he have in relation to the information God has given him. I bring the information of raising the throne of my ancestor, King David. And that's a four-branch government, a spiritual branch, a legislative branch, a kingship branch, and what we call a precinct in which all people would be involved now in the governance of this country. I don't know if I'm going too far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I just want to ask you this. Okay. I appreciate that, the ancestry the Prince David. Who are your people here in the Bahamas?
My father was Calvin John Thompson. He was a police. Mm-hmm. I was also a police. My mother's name is Jacqueline Maffaire. She was a nurse at Hepburn Thompson. She was a nurse at Princess Margaret Hospital. Mm-hmm. What we call my ancestral home is in it's True Bacardi Road where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And I am from Andras and Cat Island.
Okay, good. Because let me show you something very simple. Your ancestry to David didn't just jump everybody and come to you.
It did.
So when we honor people, let's honor those nearest to us going down. Because if the grace of God jumped to you, it had to come to your mind, Pa.
Indeed.
You understand? Yeah. And this is why we honor everyone. And we honor all straight through. I am who I am by the grace of God, but I didn't make myself. God didn't call me in some celestial pool of slime. He decided to put these two particular persons together. I'm coming to you, but the same thing is about the Christmas message. That's why when God wanted his son to come into this world, he didn't pick Joseph's sperm,
mm-hmm.
but he followed the ancestry, which was through Joseph legally by adoption, Mary physically, true body, because she was a daughter of David. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he honored the ancestry, but kept the link to the father. And this is something a lot of our children miss. They think that they are off themselves. You know, I don't care how divine you think you are. I don't care if you become the Pope. You had a mom.
Yeah, I had a
I love it when I read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, when they read down the list and they see the whore Rahab.
Mm-hmm. She's a part of it.
And someone's acting like be holier than thou. When God changes you, he don't hide you from your history. That's why I honor you. Can I say this respectfully? Indeed. You criminal, blessed of God.
Ah.
What you mean? You know what I'm saying? Huh? He didn't hide what David was, but he didn't hide what Samson was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paul talked about the thorn in his flesh, and he said that grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about and celebrate, coming to you, Pastor, mm-hmm. a God who came in the form of flesh to bring us to himself. A God who looks beyond our faults and see our need. A God mm-hmm. who comes mm-hmm. as you are. And actually, if you could clean yourself before you come to God, you are disrespecting God. You don't bathe before you go in the tub. You don't clean yourself before you come to the blood. You come as you are.
Come as you are.
And though your skins be as scarlet, I'll make them
white as
snow. You can get preachers in here, man. Mm-hmm. Though they be red as crimson, I'll make them. So when we're talking today, we're getting into the crystal. See, that was my original intent. And I respect the fact that you're all present, so there must be a reason.
Yeah.
Mm. The God who came and died for Reuben, if he didn't come for y'all, then that's your business. He came for Reuben, regardless of where Reuben was. And all I had to do was accept and jump on his bandwagon. There's a lot of work being done in the name of God. There's a lot of false things being done using his name. That's not my concern. The book of Romans says, if you regard a day, you regard it unto the Lord. So those who don't, that's their business. Mind you, I know history, you know. And I can get into debate about when Jesus died. The Bible does clearly say when he died. But that ain't the point today. The point today ain't who, for me, who's most intelligent. The point today, the fact is, he did come. And we're going to continue our rounds because we want to get into talking about the Christmas spirit. I want to discuss how do we bring the youth to the enlightenment. I want to discuss where we're going forward into the new year. You know, it's this thing about the new year. Studies have shown that the rate of conversion and sensitivity to evangelism increases at the end of the year because of people's disposition to the fear of the ending. So this is a prime time for witness. This is a prime time when people are conscious and and their mind is on change and wanting a reset to be susceptible to the word of God. Now you all understand why I say I ain't interested in all your PhDs and everything else. At the end of the day, if we spark someone's heart to get off that wall where they're about to kill themselves or cut their wrist or look to the hills for men to come in their health, then this show would have been successful. Amen. Pastor Smith. Introduce yours.
Well,
you want to say something. Time understanding your grace being a big wall.
Speak out the mic so they can hear you.
I just want to say that
you have a great witness. Go ahead, sir.
Wow, that's powerful. It's a man of God. It's a man of God.
Go ahead, sir.
Moses, God's grace.
Yes.
Before Moses was really calling, we know
mm-hmm.
he was a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the first five books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see David. We know what kind of man David was.
Mm-hmm.
He was a murderer. Mm-hmm. Prophet, spirit, priestly, king, spirit on him. Then we come into the New Testament. We see Paul.
Yes.
Murderer. Who wrote almost 80% of the New Covenant. It is so suited when God meets a man, like he was talking about in the prison, his grace transcends all of that. How could we celebrate Christmas without even acknowledging so many have been through the prison wall in this nation? And just to hear that God is still affecting men in the world today,
mm-hmm.
even as back in biblical time. That's all I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because God is constant. and God is real. Pastor Theo, well, I thank you for coming. I thank you for coming and to be my guest. And I want you to tell us about you. Tell us also about your ministry.
Well, thank you, Ruben, and of course, these great gentlemen this afternoon. Yeah. My name, of course, is Matthew Smith. Mm-hmm. Before a shepherd, I'm a servant. Mm-hmm. I have the great privilege of leading the great people in Key West Street at New Bethany Baptist Cathedral. Mm-hmm. And I believe, Ruben, that I am one of those persons who carry a heart for people. Those who've been overlooked, those who've been wounded, those who've been written off.
Sounds like an ancestor of David.
My real passion really is about building a church where, you know, grace is louder than judgment. Mm-hmm. And that's been my message to the community, my message to the church. And that's been my entire life, about grace. That's the message I preach. I said to someone the other day that there are folks that preach about doom and gloom, mm-hmm. But I come to share the good news, mm-hmm. as the Father did. And that's my message, just grace. Mm-hmm. When you understand what grace looks like, you start to think different. And I always tell folks, I say, when you start walking in the shoe of grace, you're careful how you look at people, you're careful how you judge people, you're careful how you walk at people. You mentioned something so profound. Going into the end of the year, I think that's what folks need to hear more about, grace, mm-hmm. and His love. That's it, you know, and that's me.
We are going into the end of the year. You have a powerful ministry in the heart of our country.
Yeah, definitely.
A ministry that has root, has anchor, and you have brought to it what God has placed in you, because now you're a recent pastor, yeah. but not new to ministry.
No, definitely not.
What has God placed in your heart for the new year?
Well, really impacting the community. I'd say we just hosted what is called the second annual Christmas
at Key West. I saw that. That was powerful.
And, you know, the Lord gave this to me a year ago, in December, by December 10th, I believe it was a year ago, mm-hmm. to do something for the community. I think my administrator, if she might be listening now, she gets mad at me. My leaders get mad because they know my heart when it comes to giving to people. Mm-hmm. And we did that second annual on Christmas Tree yesterday, second annual Christmas on Key West Street, and we gave hundreds of kids and so forth. Going into the new year, we want to get back to the community, impacting more. We can't continuously keep the church in the four walls. Much folks are not coming to the church anymore. I believe that's important that we get to the streets. Something that I noticed yesterday when the DJ was playing something, I got the mic and I began to speak and I said, wow, these are what, 6 jumbo speakers here, which means that the entire community could hear this. This is where the message really has to get to the community. We gotta save souls at all costs right now. But it requires us getting out of our four walls and coming down to them. Just as Paul was when it came to Utica, the Bible says that he fell out the window, Paul stopped preaching and went down to him. I believe there's a message that we got to get down in our communities. We gotta get down to the hosts. We gotta get, and so that's where New Bethany Baptist Church is heading for 2026, getting in our community, really impacting.
You reflect something that I believe in ministry. I don't run around with a resume, you know.
Yeah.
I respect it, you know, because I respect the life, work, and I know what it is to come in like you, Pastor Seymour. People don't realize when you speak half hour how many years of work gone into qualifying that.
Yeah.
People don't know, Pastor Matteo, that when you sit there and do a message, even if you sit there and you so-called ain't reading it off no paper,
mm-hmm.
they don't realize how many years of implantation was in
That's
you to fuel what the Holy Spirit need to bring you out. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit ain't gonna let you just speak in ignorance. You gotta have something inside, and He guides you into all.
True.
So you gotta have truth where? In you in the first place.
Yeah.
Even if you don't totally understand the truth, you must have the truth. And the Holy Spirit said, let me show you what you're looking at,
that's
brother.
It.
You remember you say John 3:16? Well, mm-hmm. let me help you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You see this thing in the manger here with Jesus? Because we can stick on Christmas here now.
Yeah.
You see the thing with in the manger here? This was the gospel and is the gospel. This ain't nothing new. This is what God said from the beginning.
Yeah.
And the whole story of the life of Jesus is wrapped up in that manger. I mean, how many times when you look at it, one of the things that blew my mind about scriptures and how God operates, the Bible says, and the whole world could not hold, anybody remember the rest? The books or the scrolls, mm-hmm. the many things that Jesus did. But when we read it, we see a couple of miracles, and we see a couple of gospels.
And we sell the falsehood that that's all the miracles Jesus did. Jesus was prolific in his ministry and in the word of God. And if the Bible had to be written, you could imagine from sea to shining sea, just books, books, books written on a thing. So God had to condense all of this, just like he had to condense the animals in an ark. He take one of each kind because each kind represent all kind. He didn't have to put every dog in the ark. You put two dogs in the ark, and then later on, dogs beget dog because your gray dog and your spotted dog and your white dog all come from one dog. Yeah. So he could have gotten all in the ark to condense. See, that's the gospel. And if you could understand Noah's ark and carrying the life force across treacherous waters and landing it back into a new world, then you understand how through the Holy Spirit, God could condense all of his wisdom into a book that if you open it with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, who's the agent, the Google of God. Mm. Nobody searches the heart of a man except the spirit of man. Nobody searches the heart of God except the Spirit of God, and God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So when you need your guidance, you go to the Google of God, which is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
So we have this Christmas experience, and I love what you said. I read a speak about his life as a young man and going to crime. How has been the response lately, and what can we do to by the move of the Holy Spirit, because no one could draw. Mm-hmm. No one has come to God except their call. So that's why I'm not too interested in gimmicks. Now, there are things you may do that look gimmicky, because the Holy Spirit say, Reuben, throw the axe in the water and watch it float. Mm-hmm. But it's according to the will of God. But then there's some people who do the same thing, copying. Without the unction of God, and it becomes a gimmick. You remember the guys who decided that they want to go ahead and say they can cast a demon in the name of Paul's God? Mm-hmm. Anybody remember what happened? Come on, we preach us around here, man. Yes. What happened?
They got beaten. Yeah.
Did they ever say, I know who?
I know Paul and Paul, but who are you?
Exactly. So they copycatting, but it was devoid of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We must worship God in spirit and truth. We are coming to the end of the year. There are people that are holding, hearing us even now. Some may not even make it to church. Some may be captivated by what we're dealing with right now. We are here where a lot of them have the Yuletide spirit in their mind, or even the thoughts of it up and down the street, every light on the lamppost, everything on the head. Even when you see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Ranger, reindeer that we don't believe in, it still causes people to think of Christ. You see, even though we may not like it, it causes people to think of Christ. And when you cause people to think of Christ, then that's time to witness. Not to brag. Christmas is like Mars Hill with Paul. All kind of gods all around. But he found a way to witness. Y'all remember how? Come on, preachers. Paul looked and see all their gods and said, you know what? You have one here to the, say, an unknown God. Let me use that to tell you about my God. So we're here during the season of Christmas. Let's see if we can shed some light on the Christmas story. And let's do this for in the spirit of, let's pretend we're looking at a Christmas play and children are seeing, let's just do this, the story of the wise men coming in the manger. Let's talk to that as people of the word, and let's see where the Spirit leads to that. Let's tell us what God has expressed in your heart, in your spirit, about the story as understood.
It's so crazy because that was my sermon today. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 to 14. And I use as a sermon title, The Grinch Who Tried to Steal Christmas, highlighting Christ. Mm-hmm. And speaking about Herod and him privily speaking to the three wise men, calling them and say, hey, you go look for the star, bring me word back here that I may worship him also. Mm-hmm. And seeing how the devil can be so cunning by using disguise as worship. Mm-hmm. I find that that's a serious thing. That a lot of times you find that the devil, conversations happening in private, mm-hmm, with motives for destruction. And we walked through that text today from verse 7 to 14. I mean, we can walk through it all day today. I definitely love it.
We can walk. You got senior man
Yeah, definitely. But as the day we spoke about how that spirit of Herod is still lingering, the mere fact is that the promise, trying to take away the promise. And that's what he was threatened by what God already put in the earth. It was already there. But a fear for what the future looks like. And I, as I said to our listeners today, that the devil has been trying to be that Herod, trying to stop the promise of what God has put on your life. But one thing I know with my God, whenever he has spoken something to existence, he has a way of protecting it. And what the enemy meant for bad, God turned around for good, because Herod is now, Herod sent them as a trick. And the joke was on him, not on the wise men. Because they got word in a dream, hey, don't go back to Herod, because he got some evil intentions. But it just shows how God always orchestrates something in advance for you to make sure that you're covered.
Yeah, I felt this in my spirit, because I'm very, I don't compromise when it comes down to my faith, my belief. And my spirit said, qualify the room.
Qualify the
room. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure now that we're all on the same page here. I believe, I believe, and you can answer this on behalf, that God was incarnated in the flesh. I believe in what John say, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I believe, I know, that he said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That is my faith. That is my reality. Is that your faith and your reality?
I believe that God was made flesh. That's my same faith.
On behalf of Pastor Simo, who just stepped out a minute, is that your reality?
I can't speak for him. It would be best he could speak for himself.
Is that your reality?
But I could speak for myself.
Yes.
I don't have a fate, and this is what, and I don't see it conflicting with you.
Mm.
This is who I am. Mm. See, the story that you talk about when you say about the Christmas story, this is
no, Jesus' story, and then it is equated as a Christmas.
Christmas
came after, you know, Jesus.
We must remember that it's actually an Israel story. Yeshua is born as an Israelite. He's not born.
It doesn't matter where he's born. As an Israelite, one second for me. Do you believe that he was born? That's what you're saying.
I know he was born
as an
Israelite.
And he was born as the Son of God.
I have no problem with any of that.
Okay, then we're on the same
but
page.
No, we are not. When you say belief, I say, for me, everything is nationality. And that's why I want to make this plain. I don't serve the Most High based upon faith. What you call the Bible, for me, it's the constitution that governs me. You see? I don't mean to...
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
I don't have a faith in our religion.
I respect your point, and I don't even have a religion either. I do have a faith. A faith means simply that something I do believe.
Yeah.
All right? And I believe, and I also said I know, that there is a physical human being that was born. To whom God, who is eternal, assigned himself through that vessel for the purpose of redeeming Reuben.
1 Timothy 3:16.
That person, bro, you're preaching in here. That person was assigned because in order for me to be saved, he had to function in my stead.
Yes, sir.
He could not be fully God and die for me. It would have disqualified me because I'm not fully God. He had to become fully man, function as me, pay the price for me. That happens with the birth. I can get the constitution, but this is where we lose people when we try to get so far beyond that we can't speak the simple thing down to the persons. Because the Bible is my constitution as well. It's my constitution. You use it differently. I just want to make sure, because the time I will be investing in the radio slot that God has graced me with is going to be to bring people to a new level in Christ. That's that. Anything other than that, I'm not going to get into now. Now, there is a paid sponsor. I will host it as a respect to my friend. So I just wanted to make sure that we were at least in the same room, because I don't want to dishonor you, neither will I dishonor my God or myself.
Yes.
I see? So if you do believe that at least there is a real person who came in the form of Jesus Christ, as according to what the scripture said, that's sufficiently good for me. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
I serve the God of my ancestors, of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Okay.
I honor the Constitution that you would call the Bible.
I got you. We were just qualifying the room because we were about to have a dialogue, which was my original intent when I came to do the show. And I honor God and is grateful to have you join us in the season. And I just wanted to qualify the room to make sure that we're on the same page as relate to Christ being the God incarnate that was born according to Scripture and that was manifested according to Scripture, that lived according to Scripture, and that died according to Scripture. Because if we don't get past this point, then our discussion that we're going to finish with, which was the intent of the show, about Christmas is in vain. So just a simple thing. Are we on the same page as that as related to who God is, who Christ is?
Oh, yeah. I believe in the death, burial, and birth of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. However, I prescribe to what the Bible teaches concerning his birth.
That's what I do, and I don't use however either.
The trapping of it, I disguise.
What do you mean the trapping?
The Christmas trees and this and that stuff.
I'm on the same page with you, but right. Let's stop right there. I have to stop you there. Why? Mm-hmm. Christmas wasn't around no manger. Don't mind me using the word Christmas. It's only to identify what we label mm-hmm. what I am talking about. I'm talking about the birth of Christ. So don't take Christmas when Reuben talked about the birth of Christ, because I sometimes call it Christmas just because that's what people relate to. But I ain't talking about no Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm not even talking about the 25th of December. I'm talking about the fact that he was born according to Scriptures.
Yes.
Now, we can't get...
You
see why I'm very passionate about what I believe in. Thank you. Thank you very much. And the truth of it, and we... need to be on the same page. I don't want to get caught up in the other stuff. Just the fact that we believe, according to Scripture, mm-hmm. that he is born. The Bible says salvation is of the Jew. So yes, we know he was of a Jewish orientation. And yes, I would have been classified as a Gentile, but he died for me. So, see, this is what caused people to not want to associate with persons who, whether they call it their constitution or not, associate with the book, when there's all seem to be convolutedness about the fundamental fact. That he died for me. He came.
That's important.
He rose. He died for me. The thief on the cross wasn't interested in your governance and all of that stuff.
No.
But you know, he looked at and he said, today you will be in me in paradise. We're not going to get into that stuff.
No.
Today, we're talking about Christmas because we're talking to people out there, children out there. If we're on the same page of who God is, what if we can talk? Right now.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Christmas.
Yeah.
Jesus died. Jesus came according to Scripture, and this is where we are right now. And we want to talk about these things. You started to talk about how, in your message, if you start thinking about Herod, I think you might have looked on your face if you had something to say about the wise men or whatever else. Yeah. We're talking about the story itself. Let's talk. Yeah, we're talking to children.
All that is good.
Yes, and we're talking to children. We're not trying to convince, proselytize, politicize anything. We're talking to children who are seeing a picture of a manger and wise men, and we're trying to bring them some enlightenment. All right? On that level. What's your thought?
I don't have any problem with all that. I have problem with, like I said, the trapping. God say he's looking for people that will worship in spirit and in truth. We got to honor that. And that's where I am at in terms of the Hebrew identification, the truth. He was a God of Hebrew.
It's interesting.
And it's just that we in these last days, he say he's coming for church without spots and wrinkles. We have to look at these things. And this is not the show for me because... Mm-hmm. I'm in a position where, like for example, I like to go by the word, right?
Yes.
It just says here in Jeremiah 10, he said, thus says the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen dismay at them. And even on, he said, for the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen. With the axes, they decked it with silver and with gold.
Mm-hmm.
They fastened it with nails and with hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it move not. They operate as a palm tree, but speak not. In other words, I see that as a spot. I see that as a wrinkle. And as it,
in
the
who?
Holy God. And how Lucifer has brought in what we call a system.
You are completely missing my point. What I just said. We're not worrying about the trappings of people. We're talking about the truth of God.
Yeah, but when you put it...
No. We're not... Listen.
Okay, this
is... We're not... Yeah, and that is in Scripture. Let me show you something else about the tree. First of all, too, let's do this. You spoke about God saying, come for people that spot a wrinkle. Mm-hmm. The Bible made it clear about his people, mm-hmm. his bride. Mm-hmm. He said, I will present my bride mm-hmm. to myself. Mm-hmm. God takes responsibility for washing his people, qualifying his people and presenting them to himself. Mm-hmm. Let me have another thing about trees. In that, and I'm not talking about a Christmas tree, although you clearly read what the Bible is speaking about, what heathens do. Mm-hmm. I told you on this show, we ain't talking about heathens. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it is irrelevant. I don't care what the heathens do. I am caring what God did, because we esteem this day that I already said I could show it in the 25th, but that's not the point. Because the book of Romans said, whether I regard a day, 14, or I don't regard the day, I do it as unto the Lord. I could celebrate Jesus' birth 365 days of the year. I could celebrate his death every minute of the day. I could esteem that any time because he died and he came. And if we can't have a conversation where we could separate all the minutia, and just celebrate the reality that it was done. And when he died, it was finished. We have a problem. So let's stick to the point, because it's still the point is the show. Christ died. Christ came and he bore witness. We want to talk to people as if they are children. And we want to help them to understand and appreciate the biblical narrative of the birth of Christ. Nowhere in the narrative of birth of Christ you hear a tree mentioned. So I ain't going there. You heard about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
You heard about people coming to want to worship him. Do you want to talk about that? You heard about a manger. You want to talk about that? You heard about a child, which is born a savior. We want to talk about that. So as the host of a show, just like if I did walk into your church, I would stay within the guidelines. And I've been doing it humbly. I've been doing it strongly. And now I'm doing it emphatically. Mm-hmm. If we believe in this, can you talk simply about the fact of what the Bible says about the manger without bringing up Lucifer? I ain't interested in Lucifer. There's a time for Lucifer. When I'm looking at my Savior, I'm praying to God. You see what I'm saying? My prep for the show was for us to, Pastor Theo, to speak to people about the season.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the season? And I qualified it. The season ain't because they call it Christmas. The season is because Christ came. Christmas just was invented.
I understand what you're saying.
So and then if we do, let's follow that.
Well, if we're following that line there, sorry. I thank you, Pastor Ruben. And following that same line, and really you said something as they were talking to kids, bringing this message and just bringing that story about Christ. Although we call it Christmas, it's really about Christ.
Yes.
It's simple. If we're talking about that, I think we're going to stay in that vein, that same line, mm-hmm. and so forth, in that same tune and yes. cadence. And really going through the knowledge of when we talk about the wise men and all those. But what is so important to look at those wise men in Matthew chapter 2 is that the first people that wanted to worship God,
mm-hmm.
not the priests,
mm-hmm.
not the apostles,
mm-hmm.
they were outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we first got to get, because remember, they were outsiders, they were astrologers and so forth, but they wanted to worship. And that's significant that we cannot miss that, that the people that wanted to worship were not those who were sitting in the church or sitting in the pews, mm-hmm. it was the ones that were on the outside. And we got that's important to really recognize, because sometimes we think the gospel is only for those who are solely holy, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, all that kind of stuff. No, it's even for those on the outside who knows the Lord.
Not even the priests.
Not even the priests.
Not even the actual priest scheme.
Nope.
But
let's talk about the shepherd in this way. Mm. All prophecy, the Bible, Jesus said the whole Bible speaks of me.
Yeah.
And God is so repetitive and everything else that the whole thing is actually represented in that over and over and over again. That even when you speak about even the processes of those shepherds, and we look at the place where God, let's call it corralled,
mm-hmm.
made Moses, Mary and Joseph to go to have Jesus born, which fulfilled scripture, to Bethlehem, which is called the house of
bread. Yes, yeah.
And it is also the house of bread. And then when you have Jesus, Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so he was born in the house of bread because he came because of the function of him was he was supposedly wounded, bruised, and buried and for our salvation, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement was peace upon him, and by his stripes we are supposed to be healed. Do you know that even in the birth of Christ, when we look at the manger scene, let me give you an example of this, and see if you see this in the spirit. See if you see this also in the spirit, Pastor Seymour, that the mere fact of you notice, if you study the citizen laden, the setting in life in the manger, forget what you see. Forget what Hollywood presented. But that the reality, there was no manger that was made out of wood. It's a cave. All right? The manger itself was carved out into limestone. Mm. Where the baby was rested. And he was wrapped in swaddling cloth.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see how many, even many African and ancient places and Chinese and some of us do, when a baby is born, if you wrap it up in a tight bundle, the baby feels snuggled.
Yes, and he falls asleep.
And he falls asleep and he's at peace. So they wrap him up like a mummy.
Mm-hmm.
You're following me in the spirit, like a mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was wrapped up like a mummy from birth, placed in a manger, and then now we understand why the Bible said when Jesus got mad at his disciples, for this cause came I into this world, which is to die.
Yes,
and here it is now, his mother is called Mary, his daddy is called Joseph, he is rest in a manger that is made out of stone, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, and the same Jesus when he was died was wrapped up in swaddling cloth and placed inside a new tomb, owned by a man called Joseph, and the first person that came to him when he had his new life was a woman called Mary.
That's it. From the beginning, so is at the end.
As it is in the beginning, so it shall be in the end. Mm-hmm. And so Joseph was the man in charge. Mary didn't find the manger a place and brought him to the place where he was supposed to be had. And Mary, his mother, was the first life or the first human to see him in life come out of a womb. And as it was in his birth,
yes,
so was it in his death.
Yes, it is.
We talk about Christmas trees. Forget tree. Let's talk about the real tree. Mm. The world that we in now and the sin that came upon us was because of a sin that happened in relation to a tree. Mm. And when God wants to fix a problem, he uses the same problem to fix it. That's why when Reuben get in the mud, God don't stand in heaven and rest. He comes in the mud and takes me out.
That's it.
You see, that's why when we see the same tree, when they were bitten by the snakes, God said, you take a snake and put it on a tree, a pole. And when they look at the snake and what it represent, not Satan, that's why they got to be careful of things. Then when they see that, they will get the healing. Cursed is everyone that hangs from a tree. And that same carpenter's son was designed to hang from a tree. Forget Christmas trees. The only tree I think about is Calvary.
You know, with Baptists, you be careful now. Don't go that far.
I was trying not to.
With Baptists, you say you start saying that.
Let's stop.
Pastor, when you spoke about him being the bread of life, you hit a nugget. Because when you look at it, he was in a manger. A manger, what is a lowly place? A manger, because here is now, Pastor Mick, I believe that God shows us that you don't need a palace to prove you are king. not just that, because divinity does not require decoration.
You better stop this.
I'm sorry, I'm Baptist, so excuse me for that. I almost preach just now, Pastor.
Yeah. I see that.
But the mere fact is that you can understand divinity, and I say it again, does not require decoration.
Stop it.
And
I
hope someone who's listening writes it down and so forth, because he's born in a very place, a very lowly place where it feeds the animals. Who was considered the animals? The Gentiles, those same, because if you weren't true Jew, you were considered a dog.
Yeah. Mm?
It's in Matthew 15 mm-hmm. when he says, I'm not, mm-hmm. I've sent to the lost souls of Israel. It's not meat for me to give children's bread and cast it to who? The dogs. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. place right here was a place to feed the animals who were considered the dogs. We were, but here it is now, the bread of life was put in the place that fed the animals. Thank God for him being that bread of life that went there so that animals like us that we were considered could find the truth.
And now we're sons.
Now we're called sons and daughters of the Most High. A joint heirs. Joint heirs now. Because of that one thing right there. So as it was in the beginning, it was all a big thing here. You must understand that this was just, you know, at the beginning, it was the fact that, hey, he came for us, mm-hmm. for the you and I.
Yes.
His bread and stuff came for you and I. And so that's right there, a place to rejoice because, man, you came to save a dog like me that now I'm no longer an outsider, but I'm actually considered mm-hmm. a son, a joint heir. To say that you are my father, come on, man. I'm grateful.
Yes. Go ahead, because I can feel it. Sorry about that. Go ahead. Let me, I want to guess.
You know, as I listen to each of you, right, mm-hmm. there's a cross-section of people in this country, right? Mm-hmm. Some may identify with what you're saying. Some don't, mm-hmm. right? And it may be a reason, as you said earlier, why a man as myself mm-hmm. may have been allowed on your show, right? Because for most people in this, for most people who hopefully are listening to this show, right?
Yes.
And may not accept or anything that was said so far, right?
Yes.
Because they may have their own version.
Yes.
And they've heard what you were saying, what would be the right term for this season?
Go ahead.
Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, yes. right? And it just may be that the discussion should be, okay, how do we reach those that, because to me, this would be more important, right? How do we reach those that doesn't know the story, the things that you're talking about? Because for most, like I say, the people who would usually tune in is people who you would call, like you say, you Baptists and things, right? No. But there might be people who are listening for the first time that don't carry any of those names, or how you reach them. So I could add in something that will be able to reach them?
No, not if it's going to conflict with my presence when I am in the spirit of the word. Let me tell you.
I'm in the spirit of the word.
No. One second. Because you told me you disagree with everything I say, so that already alarmed me.
No, I don't
think. Listen. You all watch me. I work with everyone. I've been to everyone. I respect. And I respect you too. And I was making time. When we planned the show, this is something I was going to do. And I'm respecting because just before the show, you know, I was told, you know, to do, and it was supposed to be for a brief time, but I wanted to hear you and everything else. But I'm not changing the topic of my show.
Right.
And seeing that's what you need to get.
But I'm not changing it. That's what I'm saying. You never heard me out to even understand where I was coming from.
Sir. You still got to respect the host. I honored you, and I am honoring you with that. Do you know on this show right now, if somebody says something that goes against Erica, I need to stop them? Mm-hmm. No message that anybody, PRP or FNM, can please everybody, but this is the message I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm on national radio. And I don't play at my God with nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody. And there's a side that will rile up, but I know my God love you too. That's why I'm honoring you, sir. I know he love you, no matter what you think or feel. I'm not offended by anyone who, and I'm not saying this to you, I'm speaking generally. I'm not offended by anyone who don't love Reuben's God. I'm not offended by anyone who does not believe in Reuben's God. But when Reuben is speaking about a God in a place where Reuben controls, you go honor that. Because when I go into a temple that doesn't speak with my God, I go honor you. Because my God say, I got to respect you in your home. And that's why I gave the time for us to speak. Sure. Yeah, and I said that, and I was willing to give more time where I was going to give you 2 hours instead of jamming it up because I know this show will run fast. Now we have less than 12 minutes. Yeah. And you think I could waste that on the time and people want to hear about Reuben God on something else. But I said I was willing to give 2 whole hours. But you got to motivate me, man. You know, fellas are listening. Let me hold this 20 and just to give this fella
and I can take you around the corner, go to the ATM and give you 100, you have a problem with that. Now I have a problem with you. Yeah. I'm being very, very honest. But listen here.
See?
Go ahead, Brother Seymour.
Yeah, I.
And remember, we have a quick time, so we only have 15 minutes. Yeah, my apologies. And I want you all to have time to wrap up. And at the wrap up, you can say whatever you want to say.
I like how my brother Theo put it in terms of where he born, how he was born, no recognition. He did choose to born in a manger, no big decoration like we have today.
Yeah.
He came simple. Mm-hmm. He expressed that. Mm-hmm. You cannot deny the fact of how he died. Mm-hmm. He tabernacled with men. Yeah. And it was a time when the Bible says he died in the Feast of Tabernacle, right? So he tabernacled with men.
Yes.
But he didn't came into a house until he was 2 years old. And that should tell us something.
But they didn't find him in a house until he was 2 years old.
2 years old, right? So they call it a manger, right? Among the donkeys and stuff. He knew he was going to come like that. He came the lowest, the God, Emmanuel in flesh. Now, when you talk about your God, don't forget now, we're talking about the same God. I got to make this clear with you, Pastor. Your God, based on what you're saying, is my God. Okay? I call him Yeshua Messiah. You call it Jesus Christ.
Which is appropriate.
But it's the same person. It's Mary's boy child. It's Mary's boy. That's my God. Is that your God? Mary boy child.
You know, me and you have never disagreed with that. I'm just establishing a point that we're talking about our God and those other stuff I'm not talking about.
We're talking about the same God. And what you're saying, let's talk about his birth. All I mentioned was the trapping. Mm-hmm. The trapping, and you can't deny this. It's very idolatrous.
I can because I'm not interested in it. Because let me tell you why.
Yeah, I understand.
Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
When you focus on God, everything becomes irrelevant. See, that's our problem. Sometimes, even in our churches, we preach so much on the devil. That the Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee. You know what? If I turn my back to the pastor Nathaniel, like I'm doing now and talking to you, he's going to shut up because he realized I ain't paying him no mind. Mm-hmm. When it could come a time when we could just talk about our God and forget about everything that's wrong and talk about what's right.
That's it.
We need to learn to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. I do get sick and tired of talk shows, newspaper, talking about everything that is wrong, every murder, every death, but it wouldn't show how Pastor Seymour, you feeding the poor, you raising the dead, you reaching out to the perishing, you just talk somebody out of suicide. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make news. Yeah. And I am not going to sit at the end of the year where a show was offered to Ruben Ramming to come and talk about anything other than let's talk about what's good and end of the year with who murder, who do this. I want to talk with people so that they can have hope.
Yes, brother.
And that's all. And don't bring me to a point of where the pants are being attitude because Ruben don't care about opinions. I speak from my heart and what I believe because I have to die by it. I have to walk over here and face criticism by it, so I'm going to speak of whom I believe.
Yeah.
You know, Theo, you got to come back. Sure. You know what? Our 2 hours going to be finishing up what we're going to be talking about our God, because see, this is so rich. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk about the manger and the stone and the brand new tomb and the death and the same way he was swaddled in death, how he came out and how the mystery of the Mary and the Joseph at the beginning and the end, and we fail to even look at the mystery of the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh. That's why the Bible says when somebody is born, you cry and you mourn and you rejoice when they die. Why? Because it's God who fixes us up and prepares us for afterlife, brother. Yeah. Not you. Samson would have been the biggest hypocrite. If you read the story of Samson alone, you would think he made it to hell until you read in Hebrews. And the Hebrews said, and the time would not allow me to speak about Samson. We can't take a turn with Delilah right now. I talk about how God brought a Samson through who broke every vow. You think I understand all the talk about the Nazarite vow? Well, Samson drink rum. He ain't supposed to drink rum. He's not supposed to touch any dead thing. He touched a lion. He touched the jawbone of an ass. He's not supposed to... Listen, people need to hear and know who God is. And to realize that in everything that God does, there's a mystery. That's why I love what you started to say about the in-depth stuff. And I say, boy, that's rich. The mystery. At the birth of a child, they bring gold. So that means he didn't just get out. They
came after 2 years of traveling to find him. And he was already in the house. You think Marazi was in the Three Kings? They were emissaries of kingdoms who came from the time of Daniel, who when Daniel had his riches and was a eunuch, so he had no heirs. He left it with the people in charge and say, look, and when you see the star, this is Daniel God. Go find him and take this treasure. Who goes to a child's birth and give them gold? That was money, brother. And then give him frankincense. That's worship and prayers. And give him myrrh, because that was his death, because the same swaddling clothes and wrapping in that, because he came to die. That was the tools he needed for life, worship, and dying for me. Boy, we can talk about this all day, but see why I don't waste time with anything else?
You touched something just now that I just gotta touch a little bit, because
go ahead, man.
When you talked about that part of worship, I know we gotta go.
No, go ahead. You got 19 minutes. I'm gonna let you guys go ahead.
When you talked about that part of worship, the Bible says they fell down and they worshiped
him. A baby.
I understand. Before he preached, before he healed, before he did any miracles, before he even had the chance to prove himself, the Bible says they fell down, because here it is now. Real worship does not wait for evidence.
You know what? Sorry. You can break into people's studio.
Sorry. Real worship does not wait for evidence.
You're going to wrap
it responds to the revelation. That's what it is. It does not wait for the evidence. It responds to the revelation. The matter of fact is, God does not have to prove himself to you before you worship him. Before he did any acts, they still, and they worship a baby. Here's now, they did not come to see a baby, they came to see a king. That's the message right there. The fact that he wasn't even in himself yet, but they still worship. That's the message we got to preach, Pastor Ruben. That you don't even have to see the evidence to start worshiping God. You can worship him freely before the evidence even come to pass. This is the kind of message that I preach to our people. A lot of times we are waiting to see it before we begin to worship. But how oftentimes do you worship God before you see it? Because he's waiting to see what kind of response you're going to give before you even get what you want. Because there is worship in manipulation. A lot of times folks worship in manipulation.
Witchcraft. Manipulation is the sin of?
Come on now.
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft, right? Yeah. Here it is now.
And plenty of churches do this. I know you know that.
You are only worshiping because you're trying to get something.
From the people.
Come on.
Trying to get the...
Let me behave myself. Sorry.
Boy.
Sorry.
You know what? I want to honor you, sir. And you're going to wrap this show and close it up. Actually, both of you. You could see whatever you want. And I'm going to pause, but I got to say this because we're going to set the order. I gave my word, but I can do it, but I can shave it down because I want to shave it down now. I want you to come, be on time, the first hour tomorrow. I was giving you two, but I keep showing you how you can qualify for the two, and that was an issue because I wanted to get into this. I want you to come. You can say whatever you want. You understand? I promise you that. I want you to cancel some appointments.
Yeah.
And we can finish the second hour.
Okay. Okay.
And we can finish this. Full name again, please.
Salatial Thompson.
Salatial Thompson, I honor you, sir. I honor you, sir. And when you come tomorrow at 2, I will honor you. And you can say whatever you want. You know?
Appreciate that.
And I'm saying right now, I'm just going to let you just speak. You see what I'm saying? Because I honor you.
Yeah.
But I honor above myself, my God.
Yeah.
And the second half, Pastor Teo, we can just wrap. And out of honor for you, sir, because you're a senior man to me, I want you, however you want, 6:22, the show would end at 6:30. You go for yourself. The show is yours. And the only thing I would say after you finish when the producer say is to say thank you. Go ahead, because if I don't honor, my God also have a problem. I honor people because I expect to be honored. So go ahead, sir.
God bless you. I just want to say that a lot of the time, even as we focus, like you say, on the manger, and we look at who was in that manger, there are many of us who really don't understand who was in that manger, who came as a child, who was born as a child. This Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. This was God. We agree?
Emmanuel,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as a baby. As I go around in the churches, I found that a lot of people is yet to understand that this child, they don't see him as God in flesh, Emmanuel. They don't associate him. Some people, and some in Christendom, I'm saying, they have the challenge to see when Paul say, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. You understand? They see the Son now. We talk about the baby. But he come himself. John said he was in the world. And though the world was made by him, mm-hmm. the world didn't know him. Mm-hmm. I think as we look at this birth, as we look...
I'm just making sure to hear you clearly.
As we look at this birth, yes, we want to also highlight the fact that this was God. Paul said John, in the beginning he was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and said, and the world was made by him. This same baby who came in the manger in which we celebrate, when you look at how deep he goes and who he was, you understand? It helps us to understand the deepness of his grace. Because it was God. Yes. Think of that. Yes. Who created the world. Yes. Step into the world. Yes. Although the world was made by the same word. Yes. Who became flesh in the manger. Among animals. Was the very one who created the world. You agree with me, Pastor?
Yeah.
That's a different level.
He created his mud and come true.
Greatest the mystery.
Oh, Lord. You see how much we have to talk about in the show to get distracted?
The mystery. So, I mean, there are different ways that we can approach this.
Yeah.
However, when we talk about him and this world system that has us tangled up, because remember, Satan is the god of this world system. And we have to stop and think, right? Are we truly worship him in spirit and in truth? Are we? We say spirit, but are we worshiping in truth? Or what does word teach? I understand what everybody is saying. I'm not playing that, but I have come to the fact that we worship in that God, that Emmanuel, who come, and regardless of whether you worship at Christmas or I don't, I have learned in the word as I go on into this, pastors, that there is a system that Lucifer has put in similar to, and as a prophet of God, God has shown me the thing, because he said in the book of Revelation, the whole world has been deceived. I'm calling my people out. Come out of all my people. I want you to begin to worship me in spirit and truth. Forget this. Forget that. I'm coming for church without spots and wrinkles. That's a powerful thing that we don't teach in the church. We need to know what that is. And I'm just saying there are spots and wrinkles. We just throw it aside when we don't deal with wrinkles. You see? And he said, if my people who will call and turn from their wicked, what are these wicked ways? What are we doing? And I know you're talking about Christmas, right? But we have to seek to worship him in spirit and in truth. And my version of truth may be a little different from yours. But I know one thing, the spirit in you. The spirit in this, Brother Reuben, is the spirit of the Most High God. I won't even talk with Theo. Because you know how I feel about you. Okay? I know both of you all are men of God. I know I have the Spirit of God, but then yet, because of the tradition of men and religion, we will go off on tangents sometime, but we must never forget, it's that baby boy that we live to satisfy. That God who was in the world and made everything and manifests himself in the manger. They call it Christmas. I don't. I just call it something different.
Which is fine.
You see? And I respect everybody. Which is fine. You understand? Where they are. But I'm hoping that change can be effected in this nation because of where God is calling us. God is calling us, men of God, to a position of truth and righteousness. You see, he called the Bahamas to be a place where he will manifest himself to the world. literally through his spirit. Let me just say this. Do you know the next move of God? They say it's the rapture, but is it? It is him coming back to the earth, double portion of the anointing of what happened on the day of Pentecost, and it's going to happen in these islands of the sea. God is going to do it. Heaven and earth will pass away before one of his word fail. This is something new. You hear about the new and next Bahamas, full of the glory of God. Full of the glory of God, like the water covered the sea. It will be full of the glory of God, like the water covered the sea. All of this, they come in the line of the birth of Yeshua. They come in the line of Passover and resurrection. They come in to learn that, you know? So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the time, if you would have us, to talk about this great plan God has for this nation. We haven't touched it, you know what I mean? Because you are the plan. And I thank you for allowing us to be here, because it's clear that you had a mandate, and for somehow you squeeze us in, and I respect you, and I appreciate the way how you did it.
Brother, I honor you.
Amen.
And you come in time on Monday, I go honor you again, and even more.
Amen.
Okay? But I will accomplish my agenda. Pastor Theo, wrap us up, man. Close this like you were on the show for me, please. And when you come back, we're going to be talking, we're going into watch night. You know, we're going to come touch back
Lord
on this,
Jesus.
On this manger thing, because the half had been told about the scrolls. and we can do that, but go ahead, bring us home. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Robin, for this afternoon, and to our other guests, man. Listen, this is the season of grace. Yeah. I'm telling you, if I can go back to the old school, this is the day the Lord has made, and certainly I will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe that as we prepare ourselves for this next chapter, this move, this season, and so forth, we must remember who is the reason for the season, and it's all God. And so I pray all of our listeners today will remember that focal point right there, that he is still the reason for the season. And, you know, I'm not a long-winded preacher, but I'm just a short-winded saying he is the reason for the season, and we will keep him center and foremost with everything. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning into Remark. I trust and pray that each and every one of you will have a wonderful season. Amen.